What's up, y'all? Nick Shuley here, reminding you that each Thursday morning at 9 o'clock, the Game Time team and I help you chart the proper course to navigate the action-packed weekend in Austin, Texas with the Big Hat 4-Pack Plan of Attack. We know you love your sports, and so do we, but we also know you love to enjoy the entertainment scene in and around Central Texas and all that comes with it. From live music to food festivals and anything fun, we've got you covered.
Plan of Attack is presented by Big Hat Spirits, delivering the finest ready-to-drink super premium cocktails and mocktails from a local Central Texas-based company.
From the 102.7 ESPN studios in Austin, Texas, this is the Jeff and Ed Show.
Just after 5:06 here on a Thursday afternoon, July the 2nd, 2 days before the 4th of July, our nation's 250th birthday. But the bigger news tomorrow in New York, going to be the wedding of Travis Kelce of the Kansas City Chiefs and pop star, music icon Taylor Swift at Madison Square Garden, at the Garden tomorrow. Let me check and see if they've got some new pictures up and everything.
Pictures? So, are you kidding?
Am I kidding about what?
Hooters is closed.
I saw that.
Yeah. So
here we go. There we go. Taylor Swift arrives at MSG for Blockbuster.
Two of them left in San Antonio, and I don't know if that means if two of them left in the entire country.
Isn't there one in Round Rock?
Oh,
too?
Sure. In select states.
That's the last one.
No. I think in select states.
There's two left in San Antonio.
Okay.
But I think that might be two left, period. The one in Round Rock closed. The closest Hooters to Austin appears to be San Antonio locations at San Pedro and Ingram Road.
I don't think that's the last
two. Look at that. You're right. Look at that. Dallas, San Antonio, North Richland Hills.
They're done.
They're all closed?
Yeah, they're done.
Well, this says, AI says there's 33 Hooters locations in Texas.
No, sir. Well, not the closest to Austin are two in San Antonio. Are there others? It says they filed for bankruptcy in a North Texas bankruptcy court.
Mm. Hooters locations in Grapevine, San Marcos, and Houston are abruptly shuttered their doors Wednesday.
Yeah. Due to high costs of labor and food.
Oh, hell, this was in 2025. That's just bold
story.
What
are you doing?
I just Googled it. Yeah. Is that fake news you've got there?
No, not at all.
There's none in Austin.
Yeah.
The last one was in Round Rock.
Round Rock, and that was closed at the end of May.
Isn't it just sitting there abandoned?
I imagine.
Still got the signage and everything.
The CEO, whatever that means at this point, says they're going to rebrand. Tell me how exactly they're going to pull this off.
Well, they've been murdered by your place out there in Round Rock because it's so popular.
Yeah. So?
Yeah.
What are they going to do?
I don't know.
Like, what's the option here?
The Augusta National bought the one in Augusta. It's now a parking lot.
If you can't make a Hooters in Georgia, you can't make it.
Well, there used to be one on near Barton Springs Road. And
that's a long time ago.
That was on that land, I believe, that the Peanuts, Charles Schultz's family.
Charles Schultz's family, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is that now? It's nothing now, is it?
Oh, no. It's a big, huge condo where it was. Huge condo.
Well, what is it? I mean, there was a Hooters airline.
Yeah, there was a Hooters casino. I went to the Hooters casino in Las Vegas.
That's where my dad went the time.
Trey, are you serious?
I wish I'd have known your dad.
That's really.
I would have loved my dad.
I would have loved your dad.
You and my dad would have got along great.
I went there when one of the boys turned 21 late. No, I didn't stay
there. My dad stayed there.
Oh, I didn't stay there. Gosh. We went there like at 2 in the morning to have chicken wings and drumsticks and throw craps.
That's Oyo now. Oh, it's
boy.
Oyo.
Yeah. That's really depressing.
It had the longest. They had a dice table there, Jeff. I thought I had a rotator cuff problem when I was throwing dice. It was so long. But boy, were those chicken wings good at 2 a.m.
That's pathetic.
And they had the race car out in the lobby.
Yes, yes.
The Alan Kowicki race car.
Yeah.
You fly the airline out there?
No.
I don't see how they rebrand, to be honest.
I don't either.
I think it's time to move on.
You know, you can fly to Cancun in 2 hours and 6 minutes.
I know.
2 hours and 6 minutes.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
See.
I'm aware of this.
See.
You act like I haven't been anywhere.
Was that where your last marriage was?
No. No, it was another more expensive another part. The most expensive place, the most expensive everything. It would have been a tenth of the cost. Are you kidding me? A tenth of the cost.
Oh, boy.
No. That's not good enough. No, got to go where the stars go. All the celebrities.
Now, how many of the stars will now say, I want to get married at Madison Square Garden? Or will they call?
How much does that cost?
Good Lord.
What does it cost to rent out Madison? Not that it matters.
Good gosh. I mean,
you know what? She probably wrote it into one of her contracts and said, I'll throw you 1% of gate to host my wedding or something. I don't know. I think this is a...
You think it's a curveball? They're going to throw in a curveball?
Yeah, I feel like... I mean, either that they are, the two of them are so ridiculously commercialized, and if they're that commercialized, they're going to turn this into something else. Mm-hmm. I'm even having a hard time believing the two of them are that commercialized. Mm. That's pretty disgusting.
It is.
It's completely unnecessary.
It's just over the top.
It's like it's something like Trump would do. Some kind of desperate thrill seeker narcissist would do this. Mm. I guess they're that. I'm disappointed in them. Now you've told me this. I didn't have many feelings about either one of them, but that's pretty bad.
I think it's way over the top. It's way over the top.
I mean, that's kind of disgusting.
Yeah, I believe in destination weddings, but man. Yeah. And you thought they were going to have fans there?
I don't know.
Just hope anybody.
Yeah, it's MSG.
No, I thought was that you would go buy a ticket. I mean, I thought MSG, if everyone's going to be a total sellout... Let's go all in, and MSG sells the upper rows to a bunch of idiots that'll pay $150 to go to Taylor Swift's wedding.
$150? They'd pay...
$500, you're right.
No, if you're...
$5,000. Whatever those moms were paying to go to the concerts, they would pay the same thing to go sit in the upper deck and watch their wedding.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. I mean, if they're that commercialized, why not do it?
Can you imagine, Trey, if somebody... whips out a phone tonight or tomorrow. They'll get their arms broken.
Oh, they will have SEAL Team 6 on them.
Yeah, they're already making a makeshift perimeter around the place to beat up anybody who shows up that gets too close.
Now we know why
they beat up the Spurs fans, and now they beat up Taylor Swift fans.
Great leader's having a bad week. She's taking all the limelight.
Yeah.
And the reflecting pool thing.
Oh, it's so sad.
It's all coming apart for that genius.
It's all
sad. Don't worry. His and kids will steal some more.
But the kids are doing...
Of course they
are. You know, they're pretty smart, Jeff. They made some really good moves in cryptocurrency, I was reading.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, they're real smart. $2 billion.
Yeah. You give me free money and the ability to take from other people, and I'll make a lot of money.
Okay, we got to take a break. After this break, more on the Thursday edition here. 1027. I'm really going to go MC a golf event, and I'm going to Muni. It's the Champions Dinner. Firecracker starts tomorrow.
You came to work one time in a month.
Yeah.
On a holiday, and you left work early.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Hey. Sorry.
That's what you get working here 72 years.
That's right.
He's Mr. Radio for a reason.
That's right. The kind of perks you get
when
you're a vice president.
2 months of vacation.
He's vice president of content.
Well,
joining the other 11 vice presidents.
Topping the salary at $27,500.
That's right.
Thank
exactly.
You. All right. Back with more after this.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements. Afternoons 4 to 6 on 1027 ESPN. Check out the podcast page at 1027ESPN.com. Now back to the Jeff and Ed Show.
Shut up, smoker voice. That's way too much. On Twitter, it's at Jeff Ward Show. It's like everybody is either forced to have a hot take post-US 2-0 win over Bosnia, or this is all forced. And I've seen 100 memes already. They're pretty funny. And then everybody who is anybody has some reaction. It's like everyone's trying to outrage the other person about the U.S. red card and the suspension. Sorry, no offense. It's getting tiresome. But here comes one. I don't want to say... The attempt by a lot of people to all of a sudden act as if they know a lot about not just the U.S. national team, the players and the game itself, but there's a lot of that going on. You know, I mean, I think the better way to say it is, oh, that sucks. I don't really get this red card thing. That seems kind of dumb. Say that. Here comes Robert Griffin III. That's exactly what I said. USA has its best chance to win a World Cup, and a bogus red card is given to our best player to keep him out the next game in the round of 16? Question mark. In all caps. They don't want to see us win and have to call it soccer. Yes, Robert. That's precisely what they wanted to do. Yes. They want to punish the host country, one of them, just because the rest of the world doesn't want to have to call it soccer. Good take, Robert. Nice. Lexi Lawless is, I don't know what's happened to him. He's become a despised man in all of this. He works for Fox. He's been a voice of soccer for a long time, does a podcast. I'm not as irritated by him as a lot of people, but I am irritated by the Fox show, and I'm irritated by the flag waving. I don't think... Here's what... you can be a fan all you want, but there was a shot after the game of the Fox crew, and they're breaking down the game and stuff. They're all wearing U.S. jerseys.
Yeah, it's so biased.
I mean, be better than that. I mean, I know fans want to face paint. Go face paint. But when I'm paid to be an analyst, I really shouldn't be wearing the team jersey, even if it is USA. And all of them had gear on. And they're ranting as if they're, you know, drunken Aggies or something. Here goes Lexi Lawless. His head almost exploded after the game. It came close to exploding here.
That is not a red card. I understand that in the moment it looks bad, and when you see it on video, it looks bad. But you have to have a feel. You have to have an understanding with what's going on. I thought it was a crap call. I thought it was a crap red card. But what I did love was the response from this U.S. team. And again, it goes back to a different way of winning, but one that makes me just as happy and just as proud in the way that they didn't pull into a shell. As a matter of fact, they were pinging it around at different times. Now, it says a lot about, I think, what Bosnia isn't, but still, a tremendous amount of credit go to those 10 guys, the substitutions that Pochettino made, and just incredible. I just feel horrible for Balogun. You can protest it, and you can file a protest and anything. I don't think it's going to come to anything, although it should be said that if his name was Messi, as we have seen early in the tournament, he would still be on the field, and he would still be able to play in Seattle come Monday.
What's up with that music?
I don't even know what's going on. Okay, yeah. That meme is all around of Messi, blah, blah, blah. But that's not very consistent. One of the things in the early games that some of us pointed out was how many red cards were given early in the tournament. This idea, this myopic view that it's only about America is simply not true, as usual. There were players getting tossed. I remember complaining about it. I can't even remember what teams they were. There were guys getting tossed. There were guys getting tossed from games for covering their mouth. It is a obvious... If you're going to be an analyst, I think you should say this. It's an obvious mandate by the governing body to crack down on a bunch of stuff to the point of being over the top. It's one sending guys off the field has been very common in this entire tournament. People just notice now because it happened to an American star. But this was outrageous early in the tournament. Who was it? A guy from Paraguay got thrown out for covering his mouth the other day. So it's the wrong mandate. These are not the wrong calls in the moment. I disagree with him to an extent. I mean, it's a foul. It may even be in the moment when you see a guy's ankle snap, almost snap. send him off the field. I almost get that. But this has been going on in this tournament, other than Messi, yes, of players getting sent off the field and then suspended, which is the worst part of all this. It's one thing to make a bad call, a bad review. It goes to another level when you start suspending people. That's the bigger, that's an even bigger issue. It's not the big issue, but it's an even bigger issue. So and yes, the U.S., he's right about this. They did have a good response. They are super fit. Bosnia's 61st. It's not like they just jumped all over Spain or something. They beat Bosnia's really bad. They're 61st. The U.S. is between 12 and 16. You probably should win that game. But they did ping it around. They did do more than kill the game. They played. There's a lot to like, no doubt. But I wish people would have been ranting about these red cards that have been handed out to other players too. Because it's been an issue. It's not cool. And for all the incredible use of the video that they use, which is kind of mind-numbing, doing it, looking at that foul in still frame is a I think a distorted view, because all you see is his cleats stepping on a guy's ankle. In real time, it's probably not quite, it's more understandable. So I think I'm the only person that thinks that the Fox coverage is awful. I think it's awful. I don't think the game broadcast itself is necessarily awful, but it feels like the Olympics. It feels like there's glitter and there's face paint, and that's from the analyst. And I would think the audience would want more from the analyst than all wearing red, white, and blue outfits. I mean, just explain it. I mean, he does to a degree. There are memes out there. There are videos out there of referees, I think, explaining the thinking. But what nobody explains is how ridiculous it is that you're then suspended. That's all this energy should have been spent on that. Now, and I have no idea how it even works. If the U.S., well, it would look like the U.S. was given a deal if all of a sudden that guy was back on the field. Because the other players that have been tossed out of games have not been able to get back on the field. It's just been kind of a consistent, terrible, over-the-top, draconian policy. But he shouldn't miss another game. Even if they weren't playing Belgium, he shouldn't miss another game. Nor should anyone else. All right, 512-834-1027 on Twitter. It's at Jeff Ward Show.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements. Afternoons 4 to 6 on 102.7 ESPN. You're listening to the Jeff and Ed Show on 102.7 ESPN.
Shut up, smoker voice. On Twitter, it's at Jeff Ward Show. This is interesting. This leads into the next conversation about name, image, and likeness. It's the 5-year anniversary of name, image, and likeness. And so I'm trying to figure out where these posts are coming from. But I assume this is a lawyer representing some of these players. Or, I mean, listen, by and large, if you ask yourself, who are the real fans of this name, image, and likeness thing, which is completely fake? Okay, it's... I'm trying to think of a comparison. It's like saying that it's not even a GoFundMe. It's sort of like GoFundMe of sports and calling it something else, pretending it's some sort of market forces. But it's the 5-year anniversary, and it's a very interesting piece written by Greg Riddle of the Dallas Morning News. And it's... What does it say? The headline of the Dallas Morning News is something like 5 years of name, image, and likeness, but predatory practices, the concern for predatory practices. Greg, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. So I didn't set that up in the best way possible, but forget name, image, and likeness by itself and the good and the bad, if whatever that is. But talk about the thing that I don't think people fully understand nor appreciate, and that is this world of street agents. And tell people about what typically an agent would get in a contract versus what you're writing about now and what you're hearing from coaches, what they're really charging families.
Well, for high school and college, there's not a set standard for what they can make. But like in the NBA, they get 4% of the player's contract. In the NFL, it's 3%. Plus, they get a percentage of the outside deals that those players make, like getting brand deals. But that's why the Texas High School Coaches Association is trying to get federal regulations that would create a standard fee or standard percentage that that an agent could take from a deal like an NIL deal.
And so they're taking 30%?
That's what the Texas High School Coaches Association alleges, that it's that they're seeing some agents take anywhere from 20 to 30%.
And 20 to 30% of what? Since most of these aren't pure, they're not real endorsement deals. For instance, like somebody's not getting paid by, you know, Ford to do a commercial. Where do they find a way to take the 30%? From where?
It's from revenue share contracts where at the college level, where the school's paying the athlete directly.
Okay.
Or like high school kids in Texas can agree to an NIL deal or a revenue share contract while they're in high school, but they can't make any money off it till they get to college. So it's deals like that.
So how does that work? If you can't have... Explain the rules in high school in the state of Texas, because I think I read in your piece that some players leave the state of Texas to go somewhere where they can get paid this money.
Yeah, you'll see that with top-tier athletes. You're seeing it a lot in basketball here in Texas. We've had a lot of our top basketball players leave to go to other states where NIL is permitted.
But specifically... If they can't take the money while they're in high school in the state of Texas, an agent is going to get that once they get to college, or the agent getting money up from the families for the 30%?
I think it's once they get to college and they start making money.
Yeah. Does anybody talk about how, you know, like this is... So in the NFL years ago, as you know, the NFL said, because these were... stuff like this was going on. The NFL said you have to be registered with the NFL Players Association, and here is the max fee you can charge. Anybody talk
that's
about
that? That's not the case.
Yeah.
That's not the case here. That's why the Texas High School Coaches Association, they're trying to put together state and nationwide registries of agents that are certified, so you don't have that problem anymore. But that has not happened yet. But they've been lobbying senators and congressmen and the attorney general. They've met with NFL stakeholders. They're trying as hard as they can to get something like that.
Is there any push for high school players in the state of Texas to actually get their hands on this money?
They would have to either leave the state or they'd have to wait till if NIL ever comes to the high school level. But right now they can't.
Do college coaches want that to change because they don't want these players leaving to go elsewhere? Does it not matter to coaches?
I don't think it matters to the college coaches. I know the high school coaches are very against NIL coming to Texas from the many that I've talked to.
Is there an issue with the money getting paid to them under the table in this particular case?
I think they're just worried about kids being taken advantage of. And if agents are charging more than what they should be, then they feel like they call it abuse of kids.
Yeah, I think your term was, well, it's not predatory lending, but it's pretty predatory on its face.
Right.
So, I mean, give an example of what you're talking about with somebody, you know, a high school guy wanting to get, somebody promises them this money, but they can't collect it in Texas. So what do they do? They shop around to other schools? Or coaches are poaching them? How, what does that look like?
Well, the example I gave in my story was Felix Ojo, the Mansfield Lake Ridge five-star offensive tackle who ended up signing with Texas Tech. He got a fully guaranteed three-year, $5.1 million revenue share contract from Tech. His agent would not say what percentage of that he gets, but that's the kind of money that's out there. And his agent said that college quarterbacks at the Power Four level can make anywhere from $2 to $4 million. So there's a lot of money out there that agents are trying to get their hands on.
Yeah, and it's guaranteed.
Ojo's deal was not a lot of them are, but for Felix Ojo, it was, because he was the top tackle in the country.
And that's from Texas Tech, who, by the way, just got burned on a deal with a quarterback who's not even taking a snap there.
Right.
I mean, isn't that kind of a crazy way to do business? I mean, you're guaranteeing a high school kid who's not played any, and not made it to the college level yet. And so when you say guaranteed, this is ironclad guaranteed, written up by a lawyer. So no matter what happens with him, Texas Tech is going to be on the hook for $5 million.
Yeah. And if he doesn't pan out or he gets hurt, then it's their loss. So,
wow.
I think a lot of colleges don't prefer that. They want 1 year deals in case a player does get hurt or they just don't live up to their potential. But Texas Tech was willing to give this guy a fully guaranteed three-year deal.
Greg, are there many deals like that?
No, I don't. I think only your very top premier recruits are going to get something like that. I don't think you'll see like 3- and 4-star guys getting that, but your 5-star guys are the exception.
Okay, but what's the success ratio of even 5-star recruits? I mean, maybe half?
Yeah, probably.
So does that mean other high school recruits are saying, hey, listen, Texas Tech guaranteed $5 million for this guy. You want me badly enough, you're going to have to guarantee me 5.5. Is that the way it's pitched out there?
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure Felix Ojo's deal's been held up as the going rate, and I'm sure there's kids out there who are saying, can I get more? This guy got this. I'm ranked ahead of him. Why can't I get that?
And his agent wouldn't answer to you how much, what percentage he was taking.
What percentage he gets. I asked him point blank. He said the percentage that agents get varies from agency to agency, but he would not provide a figure.
What percentage do you think are taking the 30% that you've written about? Is that kind of the common, is that the going rate?
I mean, I know the Texas High School Coaches Association told me that they did a survey of their member coaches and 25% of those said they had an athlete worthy of an agent. And of that 25%, 70% of those said they had an athlete that was being misled or abused, insinuating that percentage was taking more than they should be.
Yeah. And so what do they warn is like, what other than it's not at all what the market really is in professional sports, but beyond just taking 25% more than you should. I mean, I assume the argument is the parents agree to it and, you know, that's, you can't say that they've, or can you say they've deceived them? Do people believe they're getting deceived?
I mean, I don't know what they tell the parents up front. I don't know if they're deceiving them or not. That'd be a question for parents. And so far, we haven't found many any that are willing to talk about their deals for their kids. We've reached out to several of our top players.
And they won't respond?
No, they. I don't think there's a lot of people that want to talk about the kind of money they're being offered.
Is it more than the average person? I mean, is it more than what we're hearing? I mean, you know, if you say it's five, is it really, if the Texas football payroll is 40 million, is it really 80 or something?
No, like we found that the average NIL budget at a Power Four college is 36.6 million. And 63% of that's from revenue share contracts. And the rest of it's from NIL deals, commercial NIL deals.
But if they take, I mean, they're allowed 20 million, that's allocated across all sports. Right?
Right. Right.
Okay. And so, in other words, they're of the 20 million of their salary cap, they're supposed to have a salary cap technically. Of the 20 million, they're spending 15 million plus on football.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So, Greg, are they not following the rules?
Some of them aren't. I mean, there's not, the problem is there's not a set rule in place to govern this. That's what the Texas High School Coaches Association is fighting so hard. They want set rules. They want a registry of certified athletes or certified agents. They want a standard fee that they can take. And so far that hasn't happened, but they're going to keep fighting this until it does.
So high school coaches, are agents hanging around the high schools now to set up these deals and meet the players?
Well, I think those street agents that you talked about originally, that you see those a lot at like the 7-on-7 level, where the high school coaches aren't coaching these kids, but someone else is. They'll try and get in with players through that, especially ones that have like national 7-on-7 teams.
And so they're hanging around to meet them and then try to sign them, right?
Right. They're trying to become these kids' agents while they're still in high school so they can take advantage of them and make money off of them when they get to college.
And I think what people don't understand is, and this has happened before, is that there are probably more agents than top flight players. And so it's a mad dash to find the best high school guys, right? I mean, there's so many agents trying to win over just a few superstars.
Right.
Are there accusations of them paying the families to try to win them over?
I mean, I'm sure that happens sometimes, but I mean, none of the people I've talked to have insinuated that.
So high school coaches tell you, hey, Greg, if we don't rein this in, this is going to happen. What is their fear?
I mean, their fear is that their kids are going to keep getting taken advantage of. That's why they're so against this. I've talked to coaches who now hold recruiting seminars for their players to try and teach them about this and to try and educate them on what they should be looking for. They include the parents in those. So the schools are doing their best to try and let these kids and their parents know the problems that are out there.
Is the percentage they're taking, is it because of stories like yours and the noise that's being made about this, is that number going down or is it actually going the other way and going up?
I think they're worried. This has been going on for several years from what I've gathered talking to people. And I think it's just continuing to get worse until something happens.
Did you talk to, I mean, what is an answer from a parent? I mean, don't they think 30% is pretty predatory?
You would think so. I mean, we haven't found any families yet who are willing to talk about this, but yeah, that, I mean, they've got to be concerned with that.
Because as you said, the high schools are reaching out and letting people know, really, just so you know, the NFL and the NBA is going to charge 4% and you're being hit up for 30%, but yet they're still agreeing to it.
Yeah, I think they just don't know what it should be. I think that's why we're writing stories like this, to help educate parents about this.
Is there an uglier part of this, or is this, do you think right now what you're hearing is this is the worst part of name, image, and likeness?
Well, I know a lot of coaches don't want NIL coming to Texas. They fear that it'll create a very uneven playing field, It would create a bidding war for players between different schools. So that's another fear besides agents that they have.
Is that happening now?
No, because we don't have NIL in Texas yet.
Yeah.
If we do, that's what they fear is going to happen.
Is that happen? Well, I guess what I'm saying is in other states where it's technically legal, is that happening there? I mean, you just somebody goes and pays some kid to go play across town?
Well, I know in Florida it doesn't happen to that extent because they have open transfers, so you can transfer as many times as you want.
Okay.
So we don't have that here in Texas because there's strict rules in place that you can't transfer for athletic purposes.
So in other words, it would end up looking like the college game. You just go wherever you want each season.
Right. You'd basically create a transfer portal.
Wow. How does this end, Greg, you think?
I think at some point we're going to have NIL here in Texas for high schools. When that is, I don't know. And I don't think anyone knows. But I think at some point it's going to happen because, I mean, Texas is one of the very few states that doesn't allow it. I think there's 45 states that do. So I think it's just a matter of time.
Other than agents, who's an advocate of this?
An advocate for NIL?
Yeah, for high school players. I mean, who would want that?
Well, I think the only argument for having it is to keep the best athletes from Texas leaving to go to other states. That's the biggest argument I've heard for it so far.
Is that coming from college coaches?
No, it's coming from high school coaches.
Okay. Wow. All right, Greg, it's a pretty eye-opening piece. Is there more to the series? I know there's been a couple of these. Is there more to the series on name, image, and likeness?
Yeah, we're gonna have several other stories on this topic down the road.
It's gonna be
an occasional series, but we will have several other stories on this.
So other than this, as a storyline, what's next? Like, what's the next curtain to pull back?
One thing I'm working on is looking at what coaches think of NIL and their thoughts on why it would be bad for Texas.
Yeah.
That's a big story I'm working on.
All right. Well, great work. It's good talking to you, Greg.
Thank you for having me.
You bet.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements. Afternoons 4 to 6 on 102.7 ESPN. You're listening to the Jeff and Ed Show on 102.7 ESPN.
Let's talk about that insanity that Greg Biddle, the Dallas Morning News, has been writing about. So this is something I've been telling you for a long time, that's the ugly side, the uglier side of what happens in college sports. So in the real world, agents will make 4 to 8%. Okay. He's saying, this is not surprising, this is exactly what happens out there, that they're taking 30%. I mean, first of all, the idea that Texas Tech would guarantee money to a high school player is beyond craziness. It's just, I mean, you can argue about guaranteeing money for an NFL player, but the percentages are in favor that guaranteed salary for that NFL player. Well, first of all, it's predicated on revenue sharing. See, there's money coming in, so it's all a percentage of the money coming in. But think about that. $5 million to a high school guy who's not even played a down. Maybe it works. History says that it doesn't. But you would have agents or whatever you want to call them who may not even have credentials to do anything, have credentials to put together a contract, going out and trying to lock down high school players at a rate of 30%. Say, well, Jeff, that's what the market does. But see, here's the thing. One, a player is clueless. Number one, a player is clueless at all levels. And for the most part, probably families are pretty clueless. But that money you're being told that you're going to make, even if I take 30%, that's more money than you've heard of. And even if somebody comes along and says, hey, mom, dad, uncle, friend, 30% is crazy. Here's where it goes to the next level when you start getting real problems. And I mean the ugliest kind. And that is, I am so desperate to win some clients. I am so desperate to get my hands on somebody that can make me some money in this business. Hey, listen, what can I do for you guys to lock in young Jeff here? What do you need? You got some debts, you got a car payment, what do you need? And so this is what I'm telling you. One day when the bankruptcies start and having to pay back, he didn't say that he knows that agents are having to or doing this, but it's sort of the next progression. And you can see why. There's not that many players that can make you money. This is exactly what happened in college football decades ago. There are more people trying to make money off of players than there are players that can make someone money. So the market gets so competitive and dirty, you'll do anything to go win over a player you think might be a star one day and make you back your money. What do I do? Well, technically in the state of Texas, mom, I can't sign him to a contract, but I can work with you and maybe make sure you steer him my way. And once you start owing people money, look out. I mean, I do agree with him, and I'm sure it's true that high school coaches, I think even college coaches, know how sinister this has gotten, where you're preying upon these families, but they're hearing dollar amounts they would never even think of. You've never heard this kind of stuff before. Wait a second, my 16-year-old, you're going to pay him $5 million? Guaranteed? Once you hear those kind of numbers, and once somebody tells you a good story, what's 30% of that? It's more money you've ever had. And maybe this person promising me 30, it's going to take 30%. Maybe they offer me some other things, and some other things, and other things, and other things. And it just keeps going. It's not that making money is bad. It's that a fake economy is bad. This is a fake propped up economy. It's not on market forces. It's not money coming in is a percentage of money going out. It's all a charade. And so I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine a setup like in Florida where you just go anywhere you want to play for any amount, anywhere, anytime, just like college. Can you imagine in this state the bidding that would go on to go get a high school player across town? Again, poorer schools would have no chance. It's rich sugar daddies driving all of this. That's what drives this. Not coaches, not corrupt coaches, not even corrupt players. But what kind of world would that be? So-and-so high school couldn't keep anybody if they're really good. They'd be at the next highest bidder school, and the bidder would be some sugar daddy. 30% on a contract. You know what? First of all, in the NFL, they have a rule. The Players Association and the NFL has a rule about the percentage. Okay, so everybody knows the money they're dealing with. I can't even imagine the reaction if somebody said, I'm taking 30%. Taking 30%, you'd be run out. You wouldn't be able to represent a player again. All right, 512-834-1027. Trey Elling is up next. Tonight with Trey is Trey's favorite person, the legendary Chris Christie.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements. Afternoons 4 to 6 on 102.7 ESPN.